welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Elway Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elway. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I am greatly enjoying the Rangers being in the World Series. They're up 3-1. It's been just such a wonderful time to experience with family, with friends, and just thinking of all the years of the Rangers being around in existence and not getting to this point. They got three chances to win one more game and win the whole enchilada, and it's very exciting. So I'm doing very well. Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like you've got a great pile of distractions in front of you, and therefore are doing very well. Is that accurate?
Oh yeah. For sure.
Well, why not shift gears here and just cast your sights into fantasy football? Is that something that you're doing these days?
Yeah, actually, I feel like I'm pretty locked in with fantasy football as well. Hasn't paid dividends in the win column the last 2 weeks, unfortunately. But you know, I'm one of those teams right now that's like scoring consistently. It's just not ended up in wins and losses, where the last 3 weeks I've been between 133 and 140 points. And it's like, I won one of those, I lost two of those. The whole season I've been between 116 and 164, so don't have the really high highs, but don't really have the low lows. So overall, I'm fourth in points scored, and it's just been a little bit of bad schedule luck. Yeah. The last 3 weeks, my opponents are averaging like 155 points, so makes it tough to win. But overall, yeah, doing good.
One of the things that I intended to look at, but I didn't, and I'm glad you're sending out the power ranking, if you will, the power ranking stack of stats in terms of positions and movements, and as well as some positional scorings and overall. One of the things that I'd be curious, and maybe you have quick access to it on your side, depending on how long you've been tracking it, is looking at the average standard deviation, I guess, of points scored week to week going into, here we are looking at week, what are we at? Week 9 ahead. The spread right now is about, I think it's less than 250 points between our top score, like the most points for of the league, and the least. And I don't have anything to compare that to. So I don't know if we can comment on that. Like, is that a tight race? Like, is that impressive that we're all like right there within 250 points after 8 weeks? Or is that like a dramatic spread? Like, man, that's a really wide range for our league. I would love for you to unpack that maybe at a later time. I don't necessarily expect you to do it right now, but I am very, very curious. What is the measure of a successful tight race, if not just the win-loss records? Because as you said, you're scoring points, but not everything is netting wins in the win column. And as we discussed in our group chat earlier this week, those 3-5-5-3 dominant records really, really do mean it is everybody's race. So I feel like everything is kind of, at least from the hunch of it, kind of pointing to it's a tight race, but I'd love to be empirically validated by this. What do you think?
It feels tight. It feels like everything's pretty tight. Overall. But I'd say historically it's pretty in line with average. In terms of average points scored, Michael's at 161 per week, Charles at 128 per week. So that's a 33 point spread there. Last year, it was a little more skewed. Last year, the highest average was 155. The lowest was 104. That was a little bit of an outlier because Brock's team was very, very bad last year. My team was also pretty bad last year. And there was some intentional tanking going on there with the trading of auction dollars and that sort of thing. So, but the year before that, the spread was 24 points per week on average, and the year before that it was 32 points on average, and the year before that it was 33. So we're probably pretty much right in line with historical averages, but I do agree everything feels tight. I think that's probably, you know, because we've got 9 teams that have 3 to 5 wins right now. You know, there's very much 11 teams in the playoff hunt for sure right now. You know, even Jared Lorenz has 2 wins. He's not totally out of it. Mm-hmm. Definitely has an uphill battle, but you know, there's enough parity going on that I think everyone still feels like they have a chance. So that's why I'm not even stressing out too much. I've actually, I didn't realize I've lost 3 weeks in a row because my opponents keep scoring so much the last 3 weeks. So even with 3 losses in a row, I'm like, well, it's okay. I'm still scoring points. I'm not out of it. And, you know, maybe everyone's feeling the same, but it's like, there were some bye weeks in there and, you know, like excusing it away. Or maybe it's just the bliss of the Rangers being in the World Series. I'm, you know, rose colored lenses on everything right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I feel like no matter where you are, whatever your individual team situation is, you don't feel like you're still in it for the most part.
Yeah. I'm sure Jared is feeling particularly bummed that his Lorenz Chewy came back on a comeback with a very narrow win in the final hour there, 3 points or so. And which honestly, I'm kind of peeved at a little bit because that wasn't in the spirit of the squish that we were hoping for.
Yeah.
And I would love to say that Jared with a 3-5 record is just as capable of making the climb as anybody else. And that 2-6 doesn't, like you said, write him off of a playoff run, but it does make his climb all the more challenging. So come on, Chewy, like ease up, I guess. I don't know, man.
Yeah, we were close. There were three matchups last week that could have given us more squish.
Mm-hmm.
That were very close, within 10 points. You beat Scott by 10 points. Derek beat Charles by 6 points, and Chewy beat Jared Lorenz by 2 points. Those, you know, if they'd gone the other way, we would have had a lot more squish last week, which would have been fun to see. But we live to look for squish another day, and we'll see if we can get that
mm-hmm.
this week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, so Pete, I really want to know, just self analyze here, self critique. You are currently sitting at 3-5. Mm-hmm. You underperformed this last week. I beat you, in the, you know, considerable past, many, many times. I do not accept this rose colored glass facade that I'm looking at here. I want to prick the God and see if he bleeds here. I believe your soul is wrestling. Let's give it to me straight. Your team sucks. Discuss.
Why would you say my team sucks?
I don't actually believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm fourth in the lead in points scored.
Don't cry. I'm just trying to get a rise out of you so you would be like a little bit more like, okay, let me feel the passion.
I mean, like my battle cry is looking at the past and be like, oh, just listing a bunch of excuses.
Well, we had this. Like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, I want some fire from you.
It's like 2 weeks ago, I lost to Chris by 7 points, and really, I expected to lose that one by 50, so it's like, hey, I only lost by 7, that's pretty good, because I had so many players on bye, and I was, you know, like, feeling a shell of a team.
Yeah.
This is not what our listeners want.
We want some groveling, sir. we want you to feel some pain.
I mean, it's more like, well, at some point you're going to see the full power of this battle station. It hasn't come yet, but it will. I feel like I'll be one of the, you know, higher projected teams this week because I'm not fighting major bye week issues this week, and I've got a pretty healthy looking team right now. So, I think, you know, I'm just being patient. I'm just biding my time, just trusting the process. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a strong core. You know, Tony Pollard and Joe Mixon have some of the best workload roles for running backs in the lead. Stephon Diggs and Chris Olave are target monsters on their team. Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews is continuing to be a rewarding stack. There's still a lot that I like about my team. It's like, yeah, maybe one flex I wish was a little bit stronger, but otherwise, like, I look at my team and compared to other teams in the league, and I feel like, well, I don't really have any holes in my lineup, and I feel like other teams end up with holes in the lineup. So I am not concerned. I will be there in the end, assure you.
Yeah, no.
And we continue to look for ways to improve and, you know, floating out trade offers for how we can get better and that sort of thing. But, yeah, just trust the process, man. Just trust the process. It's only week eight. We've got six more weeks till the playoffs. So this is the last week of interleague play. And after this, we go back to facing our own division. So that'll be interesting. I am a little nervous as I face Michael this week, and he obviously has the most points scored, but I think he's going to be a little bit hurt by the byes this week. So I think I'm getting him at a favorable time. And then after this, I still have a chance to go back and win the division. Just got to catch Derek and Scott here.
Yeah. I appreciate the answer. Of course, I don't like it, but gosh darn it, I respect it because, man, you're just a cheery, good attitude young man. I'm afraid that you leave our listeners wanting, but at the same time, you're in the same boat as most of our listeners, so everybody's kind of thinking the same.
Yeah. What's your outlook on your team? Because, like, I talked about, I've been kind of a consistent scorer this year. You have a low score of 132. This season, and that low score is better than four teams' average score this year. So you got a low of 132, a high of 193. The last 5 weeks, you've been between 144 and 168, just like consistently putting up really good point totals. Michael has surged to the lead in points scored with a big bang of 235 points in week four and 185. Last week, but he had some low point totals at the start of the year, but you've just been really consistent all year. What's the outlook on your team? What's your expectation level now for your team?
My goal was to get the freight train, up to speed and moving. and that involved making really good choices and getting lucky/fortunate with injuries. And I've had both. I've had good choices in my picks. And I have, for the most part, been able to navigate injuries, and I've got some handcuff options there too. So I haven't had any critical failures yet. Now this week I can pretend that I do because Christian McCaffrey's on bye. And that means that, kind of the backup plan to keeping me above average in points score is the superhero isn't there. So I've got to make do without him. And, I either get fortunate with a quarterback stream or not. I get fortunate with a DST stream or not. But I have been able to rely on my starters through 7 wins, and I feel really, really good about that. I'm proud of it. That being said, Pete, I did go back and look because I was like, no, I went 3-11 in 2021 in the worst fantasy season of my life. There is no way that one of those three, or rather, it would be really funny if one of those three of the season wins that I had in a terrible season were against you. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious? So I went back and I looked, and it was not. You beat me in week 5 of 2021. That being said, that was the only time I could find that you had beat me in a good while. In 2022, we played each other twice, and I beat you both times. But then,
by a combined score of like 7 points, remember.
It was stupid.
It was like really, really close.
Yeah.
Dumb matchups.
Yeah, that's right. Still sore, I see. But all that to say, we haven't had as long of a tear as we thought in terms of our head-to-head matchups. But my expectation is keep on, like, it's hard work. You got to keep an eye on things. You got to follow a lot of alerts. And I just decided I was going to be fully invested. I was going to be fully, I had the time now. I don't work on Sundays. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never had this feeling in the 19 years of adulthood that I've got with full-time work. This is the first year that I've not worked on Sundays, and so it's pretty glorious. I get to take my wife and son to church and come home and make lunch and turn on a game or two if I want to keep track of things, and actually be able to respond in timely manner to injury alerts or start sit decisions. So it's kind of nice. I am up against Derek this week, and Derek is a formidable team. He is also dealing with a couple of buys that he needs to fill. I don't think they are devastating buys. Like, I think my bye week, I only have the one major one, but it certainly seems to move a lot of things around. So I'm nervous. This may be the week that I rack up the second L, and hopefully that does not start a downward trend. But my goal is just to keep on keeping on, score above average in the points. That's it.
I would only push back on one thing, that it is a little bit devastating for Derek because he needs a quarterback, and the waiver wire is looking pretty thin on quarterbacks.
That's fair.
Because he's at Stafford, who's hurt, and Purdy, who's on bye.
I just assumed it's Stafford, but I forgot he's hurt.
So he's got Purdy on bye, so he needs a quarterback. And so, I mean, he'll get something. You know, it's a little bit of a tough bye week for you as well with CMC being out. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're gonna keep rolling this week. Things are still looking overall pretty good, but man, Tyreek Hill is just
monster.
He is, you know, it's funny. It's like Cooper Kupp in 2021, Justin Jefferson last year. You know, sometimes there's these wide receivers that just like they just score every week. With Kupp in 2021, it was like, well, he's just always open with these, you know, kind of quick hit, 10-yard, 5-yard passes that turn into, you know, 15-yard catches or whatever. And he gets eight to 12 of those catches every game. So, yeah, he's going to score 20 points every game in a PPR league. I mean, Tyreek is kind of doing the same thing, except for he also seems to catch like a 60-yard touchdown every game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a harder time trusting Tyreek, and that, you know, that's why I didn't, you know, I know you kept him, but I don't think I would have really gone for him, you know, that hard in the draft this year, because I have a hard time trusting him as more of just like a, you know, a big play threat. But he's also getting ridiculous number of targets every week, or like 12 targets every week, and because he's so explosive. Yeah, I mean, it kind of made sense that, you know, every week or every other week, one of those 12 targets is going to turn into a 40 to 60 yard touchdown. So he's just so valuable. I mean, the lowest point total he had this year is 10.
Yeah.
And 7 or 6 out of 8 games, he's been above 25 points. Yep. It's just crazy.
Yep. Yep. I am really pleased that I kept him and saved some money.
He is the MVP for sure.
Yeah.
We both have had the good fortune of being pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Our teams this year. And I am worried that at some point that's going to come back to bite us and we will crash and burn come playoff time. But
it very well could.
And I mean, I've got to make it to the playoffs right now. I'm not. I guess
your cheery attitude. I like that you're just glass half full all the way.
I would be out of the playoffs right now. Yeah. So,
right now the playoff picture four has teams. You out. Yeah.
Yeah. There are 6 teams with at least 4 wins. So I'd be out right now. But so I got to make it in the playoffs and then hopefully not crash and burn once I'm there. We'll see.
Yeah. The playoff picture I was looking at on Monday, and I think that this one, based on the current standings and current status quo, feels just right. Like, I look at it and go, yep. And there's basically a flex team spot in here that I think that 5 of you are competing for.
I feel like just because of performance thus far, you and Michael are pretty locked in to making the playoffs. I feel like everything else is wide open. And so, I mean, and that includes, you know, the division title for the Challengers division, I feel like is still very much up for grabs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that includes a bye week. So, you know, you and Michael are really, you're competing for the bye week of winning the incumbents division. And then
he's trending all the, up.
All the Challengers are going for the division title in that division. And then the, you know, other 3 playoff spots are very much up for grabs for anyone You know, Jared Lorenz definitely has the biggest uphill battle. He would basically have to run the board from here, I think. I think he'd have to basically win the last six games, or at least go 5-1 and really increase his points scored to potentially have some tiebreaker if needed as a 7-6 team. So he's in the biggest hole. And then for those, you know, for the 3-5 teams, you know, every loss from here on out is pretty huge. You know, there's just not much margin for error. So this is a very big week, especially because we have a couple matchups where we got 3-5 teams going against each other. We got Charles at 3-5 going against Jared at 2-6. You know, so potentially those are some knockout matches going on this week, or at least big changes to the playoff picture could be coming based on how those go.
Well, I'll say this: Derek has every potential to beat me this week. I don't consider that a cakewalk in the slightest with my bye week situation. Week 10, I'm facing Charles, and despite Charles' firm bravado on the pod last time we had him, he has not been hitting his average goals. His plan is yet to really come to fruition. And granted, he would say that's all according to plan. So maybe he's just still biding his time and he's planning on walking it down from weeks 9 and beyond. But week 11 and week 12 are my real big hurdles, because week 11 I'll face Fitz, and then week 12 I'll face Chris. That will be a beating. So I certainly am glad that I have as much runway as I do, that I could afford some losses, but in terms of playoff run. But man, that bye week would be sweet, sweet, sweet. So
Tyreek is on bye week 10. So
up against Charles. Well, there you go, Charles. You and me, buddy.
There you go.
All right. Well, so shall we discuss head-to-heads going into week 9 here?
Yeah, I we've kind of already talked about yours against Derek and a little bit of mine against Michael. So
do you have a pick on either?
Skip over those. I'm going to pick you against Derek. I'm going to pick me against Michael, really just because of the bye week situations. Michael also has Jared Goff on bye, so I guess he would play Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he has on his bench as quarterback. I don't find that super exciting. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit of an advantage there. But his projection will go up significantly from where it is right now. I've got a 40 point projection lead on him, but he'll plug in 15 points from Baker Mayfield and another 9 or 10 points from someone to fill in for Calvin Ridley, who's on bye. So his projection will end up higher than it is right now, but I think I'll still have a pretty good advantage on him just because of the bye week situation. So I'm hoping to help you out, and I hope you help me out.
All right.
So I can beat Michael and you can beat Derek, and we help each other.
Let's do it.
So let's go.
I'm for it. All right. Well, with that, then let's hop over to some other head-to-heads. I am particularly interested this week in Chris versus Scott, if we want to start there.
Yep. I am also interested in that because Scott is another team that I'm stalking. He's in the Challengers division with me. I got to pass him. I got to pass Derek. So, it's becoming a little more personal now as we, it's like the targets are, in sight of, okay, I got to catch Derek. I got to catch Scott. So, I am rooting for my team, but I'm also rooting against theirs. At this point, but
the little color coding that you've got here on these charts, like that to me is, I mean, it's very clear cut. You're either warmer or rather you're either more green or you are more red. And watching it move week to week, it's like watching our cryptocurrency. It's like, come on. I'm like, hold. And I'm watching Michael creep up on me and surpass my points four. And I think the only reason I'm still sitting number one is because of the ranking, or sorry, the win loss category. Right.
Yep.
So at what point, like, I feel like all I have to do is lose one game and that's all she wrote. I'm looking at a target or two in front of me, but all that to say, we've got a good matchup here with Scott and with Chris. Chris coming off of a win, Scott coming off of a loss to me, just barely. Had a really good week this past week. He's sitting at 4-4. We've got Dak Prescott in for Scott. Now, Dak just had one of the best games of his life, let alone the definitely his best game on the season. We'll be up against the Eagles, which is fun because we've got Jalen Hurts on the other side with Chris. And so it will be a quarterback showdown. Curious and excited to watch that. Of course, we've got Jonathan Taylor in, and he did not have as good of a game as I expected him to have against New Orleans. A couple more holes that still need to be filled over on Scott's side. I do think that, and even the Kansas City Miami game is going to be a very interesting outcome on both sides of the ball. So
there's some really interesting NFL matchups this week with the Cowboys, Eagles, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Bengals, Bills.
Is
another one I would highlight. And there are some players in this fantasy matchup that are in Bengals, Bills. Scott has Jamar Chase. Chris has Dalton Kincaid. And the kicker Evan McPherson. So there are definitely some really, this would be a good weekend to watch football. Hopefully we can be celebrating Rangers win and we can be locked in watching some football this weekend, because I think this will be a really fun one to be paying close attention with everything going on, and heavily invested for real life fun football purposes and fantasy purposes. Quick aside, baseball is so much more entertaining to watch than football with the rule changes that they have made.
Yes.
The pace of baseball is so much better. And now I'm even more annoyed when I watch a football game at how much there is time happening during the span of a football game where there is not football being played.
Yeah.
I think football needs to start thinking about making some changes, like removing kickoffs, because it's such a waste of time. I said this in the chat before, but 85% of kickoffs are touchbacks. And that is literally sometimes 6 minutes of time in the game for every kickoff that is wasted, because we go from a score to a commercial break to a kickoff and a touchback, and you're changing which teams are on the field. And so it's like, you know, from the time that the score happens to the next play runs, it's like 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you think about some of these games, there's, I don't know, 10 to 12 kickoffs in a game, potentially. You could cut out like 40 minutes of the game, just eliminating kickoffs and just start everyone from the 25-yard line, because that's what happens the most anyway. So if they made that one change, that would make football much more appealing to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm a little bit more pessimistic towards the NFL than I am the MLB. I feel like the MLB, somebody pulled all of some data, and they were really looking at viewership and stats and feedback, and they were looking at a problem. They were like, guys, this is the game is dying. This is a problem. We have got to do something to energize fandom into baseball and capture the next generation for America's game. Because we're losing, like, the attention span of the United or of the world, not even just the U.S., but we're talking U.S. Baseball. It is, 3 seconds until squirrel. And we've got a 3 to 4 hour game we're trying to cram into. We've got to do something. And you're right. The changes that they made are so proactive. We're so intentional to deal with that. It has changed the game. It's changed the speed. It's pulled away some of the more frustrating components of it. So much so, and this is like the best indicator that I have personally to say that it's working, my wife noticed and liked watching baseball with me the past 2 weeks. I'm like, they did it. They really did it. Yeah. The problem is, and the reason I'm pessimistic, is I don't think the NFL sees a problem. What would be a problem for them is if they have fewer commercial breaks. And kickoffs and everything else provide advertising commercial breaks, and that's bringing in dollars. They are very, very, very anti-change that would lead to a loss of income. I mean, this is the only sport that I know of that actually has a commercial timeout dude on the sidelines with these big, you know, flashy gloves where they have to take TV timeouts. Like, this is a product. Yeah. They do not care so much about the... Well, granted, they don't have much to lose. Like, people have been forgiving to the NFL, and we were not being very forgiving to the MLB. We were starting to pull away from it, I think. And so until fans start to go, good Lord, this is a real problem, then we're not going to see the kind of change that you want to see to bring that action into it. Like, if that were the case, we'd be watching XFL, or we'd be watching arena football, like this faster-paced action. But we don't, because we're still, you know, caught up in the lore of NFL. I don't know. This was quite an aside.
That is fair. The NFL just continues to increase viewership and make more and more money and become more and more valuable. So they won't change anything for a long time, but I think at some point they will reach a tipping point of, you know, there's too many teams, there's too many injuries, there's, you know, concussion concerns, there's, you know, too much lull in the action. At some point, it's going to tip down. Like, yes, it can't keep going up and to the right. At some point, it's going to go down. And when they do start to worry about that, I will be here with my proposal to eliminate kickoffs.
Get your
ad revenue somewhere else.
Can we just create like a WhatsApp poll for the United States and just, like we do our own fantasy chat, like, let's just let Peter drop a poll in there. He's going to make whatever decision he wants to in the end, but at least he has a pace or a pulse, you know, on the on the group. I'm kidding.
I will lead the common sense party, and we'll stick our nose into any situation where it's like, this doesn't make sense.
Nope.
And
let's fix that.
We'll suggest change and
bring back the wedge. Okay. Total aside. All right. Well, that being said, do you have any other comments about this matchup in particular? Do you have a leaning?
I think I will lean towards Chris's side. There's also a lot of movement going on in the NFL, and we'll talk about this in other matchups too. But, you know, like, Chris has Jordan Addison, and now Kirk Cousins is hurt. And so who's going to be the quarterback in Minnesota? Some guy I've never heard of. And, you know, Scott has DJ Moore, who, you know, Addison is awesome. DJ Moore is awesome. Their quarterbacks right now are not awesome. So very much a wild card of what's going to happen in those situations. So I lean towards Chris, but this could be a very, very close matchup, or it could also be a blowout, depending on how things go. You know, the Cowboys and Dak are like a week-to-week proposition. You never know what you're going to get. Last week, they were awesome. They could totally lay an egg in Philadelphia this week, and, you know, hurts to blow them out. Or maybe the Cowboys do really well because the Eagles' defense hasn't been super strong this year. So I don't know. Very much wild card here, but I'm going to lean towards Chris's side. I hope we did a high-scoring affair.
Well, I think I'm with you. I think I want to lean Scott because he's doing so well. And I do think this is going to be a really close match. And so it is hard for me to call. But I do believe Chris's work is paying off. And I think it will this week too. So that's what I'm going to say that too. Yep. All right. Well, with that, let's hop over to the matchup between, let's go to Charles is up against Jared. Jared coming off of a tough loss. Charles also losing, but that's all part of the plan. So is this the week that Charles' plan kicks into high gear and he starts making his devastating run of shock and awe?
So I one thing I'll say about Charles's team is it is actually still going according to plan. It's just a slow and steady climb. Each of the last 3 weeks, he has increased his point score total. He went from 118 to 125 to 138 to 142. So slow and steady increase. We'll see what happens. The last 2 weeks, Jared has scored 150 points, 150 and 149. Yeah. So, and then 3 out of 4 weeks, he's over 140 now. So, yeah. Even
Jared,
though
Jared's
their
team does not suck, I want him to hear us say that.
He would disagree with you, but yeah.
Oh, I'm aware.
Even though they're 3-5 and 2-6, these are two very slow starting teams. You know, and Jared has actually been over 140 points 5 out of the 8 weeks. So, you know, I think some bad schedule luck for him as well, in terms of, you know, who he's faced at what times. So it's a bummer for both these teams that their records are what they are right now, because well, I guess, you know, Charles deserves it for how he drafted and how he built his plan for the year. But it's definitely a bummer for Jared. So this is a really interesting one, because bad scores here, but they're going to have good projections compared to everyone. As we look at the week right now, they're 132 to 134 on the projection. That's going to be a good score for this week in terms of projected point totals. So this is a total coin flip to me.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go Jared. I, like you said, he has been consistent and climbing. I like his team this week. I'm going to hit him. Go Jared.
I like it. All right, so let's move on to Chewy and Brian. So Chewy's at 4-4, Brian's at 3-5. As it sits right now, Brian is projected to win by about 10 points. Looking real quick, Chewy has a bunch of Detroit Lions who are on bye this week. So he's got Amon Ross St. Brown and Sam Laporta, who led the charge in his comeback win over Jared last week, and they're on bye this week. So I think that would explain why Brian is projected to win by 10 points here, with Chewy not being at full strength. So that is that's very interesting. And also, I'd say Chewy's got some of those holes in his lineups because of that right now, where he got a couple guys who don't look that great. So this will be an interesting one to watch. Brian also has a few guys who maybe aren't super strong fantasy starters in there, and hoping for a boost. But I like Brian's side on this one. I think I trust the projection here.
Again, going back to some interesting matchups this week, like in the NFL itself, I am excited about watching kind of the quarterback matchup that we have here between Chewy and Brian. We've got Justin Herbert, who really has been nails, and he's up against the Jets this week, and so that has the potential to rain for Chewy. And then you got Patrick Mahomes, and they're up against Miami, and Miami has been hit or miss on defense, and ordinarily I would say they're probably going to get chewed apart by Patrick Mahomes. He's coming off of, you know, being sick, and of all teams, up against the Denver defense, got shut down this last week. Obviously, is it the flu that we could blame on that?
Yeah, I think so.
So depending on how he's feeling, that could potentially impact his game in Miami. So that's curious to me. I said in Miami they are playing at home, so that should be okay against Miami.
I think agree with your points, but probably disagree on the outlook, because Herbert did well at home against Chicago last week. Chicago mm-hmm. does not have a good defense. Now he's going to be on the road at the Jets. The Jets do have a good defense. Mahomes did poorly on the road with the flu last week. Now he's going to be at home against the Dolphins in what could be a really high-scoring shootout, because the Dolphins do have the best offense in the league, and the Chiefs have had the best offense in the league for the last several years. So I think that strongly favors Brian here. I have this little bit of this feeling of like this, there's a week to week regression in the NFL, where if a player, you know, like if a team or a player does well 1 week, they're probably not going to do as well the next week, and vice versa. So I feel like that's kind of my bias a little bit here, that the Chargers did well at home last week. They're not going to do as well this week.
Yeah.
The Chiefs did poorly last week. They're going to do a lot better this week, and that will play out in this fantasy matchup as well.
That's fair. Well, I think you make good points. The last thing I'll call out is that Brian is one of the most faithful nickname creators and makers of NFL players, and he creatively has Derrick Henry labeled as every other week, and that has certainly been the case in terms of points for. He's up against Pittsburgh, and I think that Derrick Henry is going to be a deal maker this week too. So I have to lean Brian, but I am excited about this matchup.
All right, let's go to last one. Brock and Jared Fleming.
That would be it.
All right, 3-5 teams going up against each other. Jared Fleming might be showing some signs of life. He definitely did against me last week. Joe Burrow leading the charge there. DeAndre Hopkins, a big rebound game for him. Mm-hmm. Gabe Davis. I mean, really, like, that's another reason where I'm not too upset about getting beat last week, because, you know, like, all of Jared's players went off for him. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with that? When DeAndre Hopkins catches four balls and three of them are for touchdowns. So,
yeah.
So I think that, you know, Jared's team is probably looking a little stronger here. You know, Brock stacked Jaguars and they're on bye this week. So that's going to be tough to fill out a whole strong lineup. He's doing his best. He's been active on the waivers today, but still lots of subpar starters going for Brock. So I think Jared Fleming's looking good.
Yeah,
this one.
Brock's team is kind of slim pickings. And that's not to say that somebody may not hit, but that's what it's going to take for him to stay competitive, I think, this week. And he's going to need a defense and a wide receiver. Going to make a couple. Yeah. Actually, I think he did pick up a defense this morning. Did he? Yeah,
yep.
He picked up the Texans.
Yep, he did.
Yep. Okay. So all that to say, I agree with you. I think that this is certainly going to be Jared's team, or Fleming's team, or sorry, this is Fleming's team. Why I keep saying team? This is definitely Fleming's game to lose, but we'll see.
So where we're picking, we may have some squish with me beating Michael and Brian beating Chewy.
Yep.
Other than that, you know, and what do we know? Things don't always play out the way we think, but the other four matchups look like they will go against the squish, and we will see some separation, wheat separated from the chaff, as it were. So we shall see what happens there.
And the roosters and the chickens. Hey, question. Going back to our aside earlier on the NFL pacing and your strong opinion that kickoffs should be removed, I don't disagree. I would imagine that while this is airing during that segment, there were more than a couple of managers screaming at their audio about removing kickers from our league with such an opinion. Do you think that those are mutually exclusive conversations, or do you think, as one might try to do, leverage your evidence or opinion on one into the other?
I mean, we could put it to a vote at some point, but I don't really want to, because it's the whole kicker argument in fantasy football. It's like, oh, let's remove the variance. Let's remove the crazy outcomes of, you never know when a kicker's going to score 22 points or when a kicker's going to score 1 point. Well, I mean,
that's true of any position.
That's really true of any position. Like, I didn't know Jacoby Myers was going to be as good as he has been this year. You know, maybe if I'd done a little better homework and research, I would have had, you know, a better inkling of that. I feel like it's the same thing for kickers. You do a little better homework and research, you can kind of get a pretty good idea of which ones are going to have a more successful week. I'm not going to tell you how to research kickers or what, but, you know, I can tell you, I feel like there is a reason that I have the second most kicker points scored this season. Yeah. And it's playing a different kicker every week. Like, they're free on the waiver wire every week. And I did a different one, and, you know, I'm happy with the results. And sometimes I did a really big score, and that's fun. So it's, to me, it's just like, kickers, like, it's fun. Like, I like having the unexpected outcomes in there, even having the bad beats. That's part of it being, part of it being fun. So, I don't know, just gotta, try to stick to trust the process, get better. Don't complain more. Just get better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I, or alternative, you know how much most of our group loves Daily Fantasy. And we have talked about, what, man, wouldn't it be fun if there was like a hybrid league where you do draft every week, like you do for a Daily Fantasy. But the difference is that you don't share players. And you'd have to figure that out and kind of be very technical. What if we just drafted kickers every week as a league and like had a rotating, even like a rotating snake pick? Wouldn't that be hilarious? Like, we could try that out. That would force people to do some homework. I had another idea, a better one than that.
I would also with Daily Fantasy, if you want to play without kickers, there are lots of ways to play without kickers. Mm-hmm. It's just that right now this league is not one of them. part of the price of admission is to figure out how to pitch a good kicker.
Oh man, there's the commish we know and love. So I have a better idea than even that. I know what you're thinking, impossible. But no, I did have an idea the other day. I was driving, and I thought, oh, that might make a fun fantasy football last place punishment idea to posit for your consideration. I was driving behind none other than a student driver, and the vehicle was plastered with stickers informing me and also apologizing on the driver's behalf that they were a student driver, to which made me think, man, what if we created the public shaming route that people usually do is like the billboard in downtown Dallas or whatever. What if we made like a magnetic bumper sticker that said student driver, and underneath it, like it was very apologetic, like, you know, very attention grabbing and student driver, and also said who sucks at fantasy football. And and then maybe some call to action, like honk if, you know, like honk like some get some kind of, you know, I want drivers honking at the last place loser. And maybe it's a honk if you agree if I suck at driving, or some kind of like public shaming that you have to leave on your car for a year, and then you bring it back at the start of the next season. Thoughts?
I liked it. Yeah, I think that that has some legs to it.
Okay, well, we'll throw it out there. Are you just being nice? I feel like you're just being nice. That's fine.
We do need to settle on a last place punishment.
That's really what I'm trying to get at here. But I just thought, yeah, why just bring up a problem without a solution? So there's my,
that's right.
I've not seen it. I don't think anybody else has done that. I don't know if maybe they're wrapping cars. Like, that would be, that would be hilarious, is to do the moving billboard of wrapping a car with I suck at fantasy football. But I just like the idea of labeling somebody a student driver for a year who sucks at fantasy football. Honk to show your appreciation. And that way, yeah, we're getting that person honked at for the next 9 months, and a kind of a red badge of shame on the back of their car for a little while. Anyway, it's just a thought. I'm open to any and all suggestions as we figure out the greatest punishment for the last place position here on the greatest fantasy football league in the world. This is its podcast. I'm Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.